This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Fan Morning Show brought to you by Mike Kelly Automotive Group on Route 8 in Butler. Trent Green joins us now. He's an analyst for the NFL on CBS and CBS Sports Network. He'll be on the call Sunday. Steelers take on Bears, Soldier Field. You can also catch him every Monday at 6 p.m. on NFL Monday Quarterback on CBS Sports Network. Good morning, Trent. How's everything?
Good morning. Yeah, things are going well.
Yeah, things are here in Pittsburgh, too. 2-0 for the Steelers head to Soldier Field, as we pointed out. Okay, we have different people on all the time, and especially a lot of ex-players and quarterbacks even. So tell us, as a quarterback, when you watch Steelers film and you break it down, tell us something everybody else doesn't say about why Antonio Brown is so good and so much of a weapon.
Well, I think everybody's kind of used up everything you can to describe Antonio Brown. The thing that's amazed me when you watch film, and we actually had the Cleveland game as well, the first game of the season, is he's known for his route running, he's known for his speed, he's known for his hands, he's known to be, you know, in good connection with Ben Roethlisberger in terms of, you know, those two are on the same page. What he did in that game, though, was a lot more improvising than what he has done it in the past, but in that game, with the way Greg Williams was playing defense and setting up his defense with the Browns, there weren't a lot of just your traditional throws. He was banging a lot of guys at the line of scrimmage. He had safeties that were 20, 25 yards deep, whether it be a single deep safety or a two deep safety. And so Antonio was required, and Ben was required, instead of getting those rhythm throws that you traditionally see, it was a lot more of, okay, let's extend the play, which is something that Ben has been very good at throughout his career. But I just thought that was another dimension that Antonio added, was instead of just the, hey, he's a great route runner, yeah, he has great hands, he's a dynamic player, gets over the top because of his speed, he was improvising with Ben and finding windows in those other layers of the defense that really opened things up. And if you think about it, kind of separated them during that game, because that was a closely contested game until he had that big catch down around midfield when Ben was drifting to his left.
Trent, when you look at the Steelers this year, obviously with our first-round pick in T.J. Watt, bringing Joe Hayden aboard, and the defense a year older, when I asked the question to you, what's it going to take to beat New England in the postseason, can you check most of those boxes off if you're the Steelers?
Well, I think they've gotten a lot better. I think that when you look at what they're able to do pressure-wise, with Watt, with Dupree, with Ciccolo, bringing pressure up front, I think one of the things they talked about was they wanted to be able to bring pressure without having to commit linebackers and safeties and corners. They wanted to be able to rush three, rush four, and still get pressure on the quarterback. You know, a year ago, I want to say they were eighth or ninth in the National Football League in sacks, but the most sacks anybody had on the team was James Harrison at 5.5. So it was done by committee because they were coming up with different ways to bring pressure. I think what they've been able to do this year is when you're only rushing three or four and you're still able to get pressure with those down four, then that helps your secondary. That helps the coverage. That helps take away the passing lanes for quarterbacks. So I think that's probably in the first 2 weeks what I've seen the biggest jump at is they're able to get pressure just rushing those three and four guys up front, and yeah, they're going to sprinkle in. You have to keep the offense, you know, off balance in terms of what you're doing defensively, but I think that's been the biggest jump for them, is being able to get pressure without having to commit too many guys, which all of a sudden leaves your secondary exposed in a number of one-on-ones across the board.
Trent, you played in Kansas City before Todd Haley went there, but I'm sure you're very aware of what happened with Todd in Kansas City. Then he comes to Pittsburgh, and there were a lot of people wondering how that was all going to play out. Are you, A, surprised by how this has worked out, and what do you think of Haley as an offensive coordinator?
You know, I think Todd does a really good job as an offensive coordinator. Even when he was here, if you talk about Matt Castle and what they were able to do with the offense they had here, he did a good job of setting it up. Now, things ended badly because of a bunch of internal turmoil and everything else, and I'm not privy to all that stuff that went down, but you know, you look at what he did as an offensive coordinator in Arizona, and you look at what he's done his time in Pittsburgh, You know, I like the way he calls a game. I think that what you've seen the first two games is, number one, Minnesota has a really good defense. And number two, Greg Williams, the Cleveland defensive coordinator, was committed to stopping the run and stopping Le'Veon Bell. And when you commit that, then all of a sudden, hey, why isn't the running game going as well as it should? And why hasn't Ben gotten a 300-yard passing game? And, you know, there's all these weapons. It's going to come. There's with that type of weapons and getting guys in sync, a veteran offensive line, a veteran quarterback, I think Todd does a good job, and it's only a matter of time before they have that breakout game.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills, joined by Trent Green. He's on NFL on CBS. He's going to do the Steelers Bears, this Sunday. Is Le'Veon Bell, in what you've seen, is he putting his foot in the dirt the same way that he used to this early portion of the season? Is he making people miss in a phone booth like he used to, Trent?
You know what I've seen these first couple games? There's just not as many lanes for him, and I'm not trying to be critical of the offensive line. I'm just saying there hasn't been both teams, both Minnesota and Cleveland, have committed to stopping the run, and so they're putting a lot of focus in that area and getting the guys in there. The one thing Le'Veon has always done is he has more patience, I think, than really any running back that's played the game. And you could even, you know, argue a little bit with Barry Sanders, because Barry was so patient in terms of waiting things set up and then cutting back. But Le'Veon, there's times, you guys have seen it, he'll come up to the line of scrimmage and literally just stop, wait for the guys to come through and get the block, and then accelerate and keep going. I think some of that is missed when you don't go through training camp and you don't go through the preseason, your timing with the linemen. I think the fact is he's in shape. There's no question that he's taking care of himself and he's ready to go from that aspect of it. I just think there's a timing part of it that hasn't quite gotten there yet, and you've also faced two defenses in Cleveland and Minnesota that have completely committed to try and make the Steelers' offense one-dimensional.
When as a quarterback in the NFL, and you have all this talent offensively, be Ben for a minute. You have AB, you have Bell, you have Martavis Bryant, you have Jesse James, you have Eli Rogers. A lot of talent if everyone can keep their ego at the door. Do you ever find yourself being a quarterback saying, I know I haven't thrown to someone in a while, I know they're kind of unhappy? Do you ever think like that? Does it ever creep into your head where you got to make everybody happy and then go out of your way to do so?
Oh, it definitely does. And you know, a lot of playing the position of quarterback is psychology. You have to be able to work the locker room and work the guys in the huddle. You know, with Martavis coming back, and if you saw last week with the couple of deep throws to him, one complete, one was a pass interference, that was what they're hoping bringing him back, you know, is all of a sudden going to do. Instead of everybody double-teaming Antonio Brown, now all of a sudden you've got to respect the deep pass, and maybe Antonio will get more one-on-one. So even though Antonio is leading the league in yards, receiving yards, second in receptions, he's still putting up the numbers. There's going to be a point in time where Martavis has bigger numbers than what Antonio does, and so trying to balance that and, you know, bringing in a Vance McDonald and trying to balance that with Jesse James, and now all of a sudden, okay, how are we going to get Le'Veon involved in the passing game the way we should and still get sprinkling some James Conner from time to time? And, you know, it is a problem. It's a good problem to have. I know for me, the guys during the week, I could always tell by the way the game plan, and guys are the same way. If you've been in the league long enough, you know how practice is going during the week on Wednesday, on Thursday, depending on who's getting the throws and who's getting the receptions, who's involved in the game plan, and what guys aren't involved in the game plan. And I would have to go around to those weapons that weren't necessarily being worked on Wednesday and Thursday and start working on them mentally, because you could tell they get frustrated, like, well, I'm not the target this week. I'm not the focus this week in terms of the passing game. And so you would have to go tell them, hey, this is what we anticipate the defense is going to do, but they could always do something different, and they could always take this away, and you need to be ready on the backside, or you need to be ready for this alert throw. So it's psychology was a big part of playing quarterback and keeping everybody involved and engaged with the game plan, no matter if they thought on Wednesday and Thursday they were going to be a part of it or not.
Trent, what do you think of this Bears quarterback situation with Mike Glennon starting?
You know, I thought Glennon looked pretty good the first game against Atlanta. I thought he did a nice job. I thought last week was really bad, not only for him but for the entire offense. They just didn't look very good. Both the run game, the pass game. I think that they stick with him. I think everything that you've heard Coach Fox talks about is, you know, they want to give Trubisky time to sit and learn and adapt to the NFL. And they spent a lot of money to bring Mike Glennon in, and so I think it's his to ride out obviously, as long as they want to keep him in there. But I don't think there's going to be any kind of quick trigger, especially third game of the season, to get Trubisky in there when Glennon is, you know, he's in his fifth year and he's seen a bunch of stuff and he's played a bunch of games down in Tampa. And so I think they stick with him for quite some time.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. We talked to Trent Green, who's on the call for Steelers-Bears on Sunday on CBS. Okay, switch gears for a minute. I think about that huge hit you took from Robert Gathers. I think a lot of people do. And you talk all the talk in the NFL right now. A lot of it is about CTE. Do you think about that? Do you think about the future? Do you talk to maybe people you played with or guys you played with? Does that come up?
You know, I do. And former players, former teammates, guys that I run into around the league from a broadcasting standpoint, whether they be coaches now or there are a few guys that are still playing. You know, we talk about it from time to time. It is a part of the business. You understand it. I think all of us did when we got into playing football, especially when you play it at a high college level or professionally. There's going to be the aches and pains with your shoulders, your knees, your ankles, hips, those kinds of things. It's just part of – you don't physically have the demanding game like football and not expect those kinds of things. I think what's emerged over the last 10 to 15, 20 years – is obviously the CTE and the concussion talk. Fortunately for me, I had great medical attention when that happened. I went and saw the best guys around the country, and I did the right thing. So, am I worried about what happens down the road? Yeah, I think in the back of my mind, I'm worried about it. But what I've also noticed is guys that are staying active mentally and physically, they tend to do better as things wear on, as you get up in years. So that's what I'm trying to do. I've got a son in college, I've got a son in high school, and I got a daughter in middle school. So I'm running around with them, trying to stay as active as I can with them. I'm obviously broadcasting games, so I'm keeping my mind sharp week to week, going over new rosters and new film and studying tape and studying teams as best I can. And you know, so just trying to stay active, I think, is a major part of the mental and physical part of it as you progress forward. Now, is there some kind of damage that may have been done that I have no control over? It could be the case. I can't worry about that right now because obviously there's nothing that I can do about that. What I can try and do is just try and keep myself mentally and physically sharp by trying to stay active and be involved and engaged and. You know, we'll see what happens from there. But I will say this, the technology that they've brought to the game, the helmets that the guys are wearing, it's unbelievable. And we talked to Ben about this in the first game with Roethlisberger. The helmet he's wearing, they literally took a mold of his head, and then that's the inside of his helmet. So he's the only one that can wear that helmet. It's specifically made for his head. And there's a number of guys on the team that have it. So when you look at the technology, not just with helmets but with other parts of the equipment with the rules in the game. There's ongoing technology, whether it be with synthetic turf or neuroscience. There's a new thing that the NFL is trying to do is to initiate neuroscience things to figure out if there some kind of supplement or medicine or diet or vitamin or something that can do to help your brain not only pre-concussion but post-concussion, post-traumatic brain injury. There's all those things that are being studied. So I just think the technology has come a long way, and guys today are much better off than even the era I was playing in and definitely the era before I was playing in, because I have the helmets. I have all my helmets down in the basement from college all the way through my NFL career, and every helmet is the same. The padding, the inside, the shells, it's all the same. So there really wasn't much change. Now all of a sudden you see these helmets, and I think it's made a drastic difference with and the rule changes and a number of different things that I just stated. But I think guys are much better off now.
Trent Green, great stuff. Thank you so very much. NFL on CBS, CBS Sports Network. You can catch him there. Trent, thanks again, and good luck on Sunday with that game.
All right, great talking with you guys. I'm sure we'll be touching base later in the year.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Trent.
There he goes. Great, great guy, Trent Green. Really good stuff, too, all the way around from Trent Green, breaking strong down the game, talking about that CTE stuff as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.